Welcome back to our Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. Today we're studying Perek Zayin. Hadavar asher haya al Yirmiyahu meit Adonai lemor. Notice how the opening pasuk of Perek Zayin begins a new unit. Perek Gimel pasuk Vav, we had an introduction that these were the words of God to Yirmiyahu in the time of Yoshiyahu. Since from that time on we had a continuous set of nevuot till the end of Perek Vav, now in Perek Zayin we have a new header which indicates that this may be relating to a different time period. Later in Asher we'll prove from Perek Chavav, which is the parallel account of the events in this chapter, we can prove that Perek Zayin takes place early during the reign of Yehoyakim. Pasuk Bet. Amod b'shar Beit Adonai, v'karata sham et hadavar hazeh. God tells Yirmiyahu to go to the Beit HaMikdash, stand by one of the gates, and say the following message to the people, v'yamarta, say to them, Shimu dvar Adonai, listen to the word of God, this is a message for the people of Yudah, specifically the people coming to the Beit HaMikdash to bow down to God. If we want to summarize this main point in the beginning, God is telling, this is a message to give to the religious Jews, to the Jews coming to Shul, coming to the Beit HaMikdash, to Daven. This is the word of God. Heitivu darchechem umalalechem. Vashakna atchem b'makom hazeh. Improve your ways and your behavior and your actions, and then I'll allow you to continue to dwell in this place. You can imply from this opening message that God is warning that if you don't improve your behavior, you won't be able to remain in this place. This fits into what we saw before. God was threatening imminent destruction, and God's telling them, again, you can prevent this destruction if you improve your behavior. This was a theme we've been following since the very beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu. The Yirmiyahu's job is primarily to prevent destruction. On the other hand, he's warning them, if they don't heed his call, destruction will soon come, and God will not have mercy on them anymore. Pasuk Dalet. Al tiftuchu lechem el divrei hasheker lemor, hechal Adonai, hechal Adonai, hechal Adonai hema. This pasuk will be key to appreciate what we've been talking about already before, about the false prophets who Yirmiyahu was fighting with all along. Yirmiyahu tells the people, don't put your trust in the words of Sheker, meaning the words given by the Nevi'e Sheker, the prophets saying on behalf of God things that God never said. And what are they promising? We repeat the word Heichal Hashem three times. Heichal Hashem is referring to the Beit HaMikdash. And it seems like he's making fun of them, claiming that the false prophets are promising the people God's house can never be destroyed. They're also promising the people, Bavel will not come and destroy them. They're promising the people there'll be peace, there'll be shalom in the land. They're promising him we can fight Bavel, Bavel's not going to come and take us over. And they're putting all their trust in the Beit HaMikdash. So Yirmiyahu is telling them, don't put your faith in the words of these Nevi'e Sheker who are promising you that the Beit HaMikdash is going to protect you. Because it's not about bringing Korban to the Beit HaMikdash, it's not about the very existence of the Beit HaMikdash that will save Am Yisrael. Instead, Ki im hetiv tetivu et darchechem vet malalechem. Only if you improve your ways and your actions. Im asu tasu mishpat ben ish u ben rahil. Only if you do justice between your fellow men. And now Yirmiyahu brings an example of what God expects from his people, specifically the people he chose to represent him. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Ger yatom v'amana lo tashoku. Don't oppress a stranger, an orphan, or a widow. Reminiscent of many psukim in Parshat Mishpatim, in Sefer Shemot. V'dam naki al tishpuchu b'makom hazeh. Also, don't spill innocent blood in this place. What innocent blood are we talking about? Is this wanton murder? Or is this causing people to die because you're not supporting them? We'll discuss later on in our Shiurim on Yirmiyahu. V'achrei Elohim achrim lo telchu l'ra lechem. And also, don't father other gods, which would be bad for you. So we have three different realms of mitzvot. One is taking care of the poor and the needy. The other is murder or causing people to die who shouldn't be dying. And the third is idol worship. Which other gods these are, we'll have to see as well. Then, if we follow those three guidelines, then v'shikanti etchem b'makom hazeh. Then God promises, I'll continue to allow you to dwell in this place. I won't destroy Yerushalayim. Ba'aretz asher natati lavotechem, in the land that I gave to your forefathers to be my nation in, l'min olam b'ar olam. The land which I set aside forever to be the place where Am Yisrael will live, you can remain and settle there if you improve your behavior. Instead, what are you doing? Hinei atem botchim lechem, Adivri Hashaker Leviti Hoil. You're putting all your trust on these false promises, and it won't help you. And now Yirmiyahu asks a very interesting question, very fitting, for Haganov Ratzoach V'Na'of V'Shavea LaSheker V'Kater Labao V'Lach Achrei Elohim Achrim Asher Lo Yedatem. If you notice this pasuk, we have, are you going to be stealing? Are you going to be murdering? Are you going to do adultery? Are you going to swear falsely? Are you going to offer to the Baal God? Are you going to follow other gods that you don't know? Are you going to commit all these transgressions, ubatem, and after doing all these transgressions, v'maratem lefanai, then you come and stand in front of me, b'bayit hazeh, asher nikrashmi alav, you come to this house, and my reputation is riding on this house, v'maratem nitzalnu, and this house, this Beit HaMikdash, is a place where you say, I'm going to be saved, l'manasot et kol tovot haleh, you're doing all these terrible transgressions, and then you come to the Beit HaMikdash as a haven. Oh, now I'm safe in order that I can do all these terrible things. Now, if you look at the list of transgressions that Yirmiyahu was talking about, I'm sure you noticed that we begin with the second half of the Ten Commandments. We have Aganov, Rotzach, V'Na'of, V'Shavel, L'Shaker. That's Lo Tignov, and Lo Tirzach, and Lo Tinaf, and Lo Tishavu, B'Shmi, L'Shaker. Four out of the last five commandments are here, and he begins with those because those are the commandments which are specifically Bein Adam L'Chaviro. Is Yirmiyahu claiming that the people are committing all these terrible sins, which just so happen to be the last half of the Ten Commandments, which are all between Adam l'chaviro, which are all between man and his fellow man? Or is Yirmiyahu possibly exaggerating about how bad they are, but picking specifically the second half of the Ten Commandments and putting them first to point out his primary point that the people are putting too much of an emphasis on Bein Adam l'makom and not enough emphasis on Bein Adam l'chaviro? Yirmiyahu is claiming the people are acting in a terrible manner, especially between man and his fellow man, and then they come to the Beit HaMikdash as a haven. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, he describes the Beit HaMikdash in this manner. Hamarat paritzim haya bayit hazeh asher nikrashmi alav ba'inechem. Is this Beit HaMikdash, is this temple where everyone's coming to pray, has it turned into a hideout for robbers? A mara is a cave. A paritz is a person who breaks into houses, or a robber. And it looks like God's house, instead of being a place to worship God, from the people coming there, it looks like it's a gang of robbers gathering together. And this is a house that's being known for my name, for the name of God. Gam onochi hinei ra'iti num Adonai. God's saying, don't think I am not noticing what's happening. I'm paying attention, and I can't allow this to continue. Now, it seems like the people think that there's no way God's house can be destroyed. And as long as they come and bring offerings to God's house, God will save the city. Yirmiyahu has to prove to the people now that there's a possibility that God's house can be destroyed. Pasuk Yud Bet, Ki luchun na amakomi asher b'shiloh. Go to the place where I once had my mishkan in the city of Shiloh. Asher shikanti shmi sham b'rishona. In the beginning, I put my name there. The mishkan was in Shiloh for over 300 years. Uruat asher asiti lo. Look what I did to it. Bipnei rat ami Yisrael. Shiloh was destroyed. Shiloh was a house of God. The mishkan was there. And we call from the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, Shiloh was destroyed, especially because of the sins of the sons of Eli. Again, a type of corruption that God cannot allow to continue. And therefore, he had to destroy that house. And therefore, the same fate that happened to Shiloh may happen to Yerushalayim. And don't put your trust in the very fact that there's a house for God and God's house couldn't be destroyed. No, it's all dependent on your deeds. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, Vata, now, because you've done all these terrible things, you've sinned in such a terrible way. I've been warning you over and over again. It's not just one warning. It's repeated warnings over and over again. I called out to you to repent and you didn't answer. Therefore God says, the same thing that I did to my house in Shiloh, I'm going to do now to this house of God that you're putting all your trust in. This matches beautifully with the opening line in Perek Zayin, where Yirmiyahu is claiming the people are saying, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Hema. The repetition of Heichal Hashem is reflected exactly in Yirmiyahu's claim here, that the same fate that happened to Shiloh could happen to Yerushalayim. What are the people answering back? No, God's house is different. Tetvav. I'm going to send you away from me. at Kol Zer Ephraim. Just like I exiled Ephraim and Shomron and the 10 tribes up north, the same fate is going to happen now to Yerushalayim. Now it could be, this can explain the repetition of Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, because Yirmiyahu is saying, Kishilo Yeh Bayit Hazeh. And how are the people responding to Yirmiyahu's claim? Yirmiyahu says, I can prove to you from Shiloh that it's possible that God's house can be destroyed. What are the people answering Yirmiyahu's claim? No, the Beit HaMikdash is different. The Beit HaMikdash is the Heichal. A Heichal has a roof, has walls, is permanent. A Mishkan is a tent. The Mishkan's cover doesn't have a roof. The Mishkan had Yiriyot, had a woolen cover. And therefore, the people can say it could be that the Mishkan was destroyed because it was temporary in nature. But the Heichal, God's palace, that could never be destroyed. And that's the argument between Yirmiyahu and the other Nevi'im. In the next section, God tells Yirmiyahu something very surprising. Recall that Yirmiyahu was one of the key prophets during the time of Yoshiel. He was one of the leaders of this repentance movement. And now listen to what God tells him. Now you, Yirmiyahu, Al titpalel ba'adam hazeh. Don't pray for this people. V'al tisab ba'adam rinahu tefillah, v'al tifgabi, k'eneni shomei otach. God's telling Yirmiyahu, don't waste your time davening. Don't pray to me, because I'm not listening. For God to say such a thing, to tell a Navi, don't pray for a people? God's anger at the people's behavior must be so intense that he tells the Navi, don't even bother praying. We always know that nothing stops prayer. Prayer, God will always answer. God says, no, not this time. You've warned them over and over again. They can't keep on crying back to me, praying to me, praying to me, if they don't improve their behavior. Don't you see what they're doing in the cities of Yehuda? God's explaining that to Yirmiyahu why I can't forgive them and why there's no point in praying. Now he talks about this family effort to worship other gods. Habanim melakti mitzim. The boys, the young boys, are gathering wood. Ba'avot meva'arim et ha'esh. And the fathers are getting the fire hotter. Vanashim nashot batzek. To make cakes for these different gods of the heavens. Vasech nesachim l'elohim acharim. Pouring wines or libations to these other gods. Laman hachiseni. In order to get me angry. Yirmiyahu is talking about a family effort where the young boys, young children collect the wood. The men make the fire. The women do the baking. But it's all being done to these other gods in order to get God angry. Hoti he machisim yom Adonai. Halo otam laman boshep nehem. Do they think they're getting me angry? Their actions are simply going to spite themselves. It will be their own busha, it will be their own shame that their actions will bring upon them. Lachen kol ma'adonai, hinei api v'chamatini techet el ha'makom hazeh. God is saying my anger and fury will be poured out upon this place. Al adam v'al ha'behima, on the men and also on the animals. V'al etz ha'sadeh and all the trees of the field. V'al pri adama, uvara v'lo tichbeh. Everything's going to burn, all the produce, the livestock, the men, the people, and no one will extinguish it. God is promising and threatening a terrible destruction if they don't improve their behavior. In the next section is one of the famous parts of Yirmiyahu, where he talks about the purpose of korbanot, the purpose of animal sacrifices. Pasach of Allah, verse 21. Kol ma'adonai tzvot elahi Yisrael, olotechem svu azivchechem v'chlu basa. God says as follows, take your korbanot olah, take your burnt offerings, add them to your shlamim offerings, to your zevach, and eat the meat. There are two basic types of voluntary offerings, of korban edava. One is an olah and one is a shlamim. Their details are found in Parshat Vayikra. What's the difference between them? When you offer an olah to God, a burnt offering, the entire animal is brought on the Mizbeach. The entire animal is cut into pieces, and limb by limb, it's offered on the altar. In contrast to that, when you bring a korban shlamim, when you bring a peace offering to God, only the blood is put on the Mizbeach, and the fat, the chalef, is bought and burnt on top of the Mizbeach, and the rest of the animal is eaten, either by the owners or and part of it by the Kohanim. God says as follows, don't bring me a lot, don't bring me a burnt offering, because you're wasting your time. I don't need it. I don't need to be fed. And add it to your shlamim. God's saying, I don't want your korbanot, I don't want your offerings. And now he explains why. Ki lo dibanti et avotechem v'lo tzivitim b'yom hotzi otam eretz mitzrayim al divrei olah v'zavach. When I took your forefathers out of Egypt, I didn't talk to them. And I didn't command them about bringing me in Olam Zavach, about bringing me a burnt offering and a peace offering. Now, when you first read this pasuk, it seems rather strange. If you remember from Parshat HaChodesh, from chapter 12 in Sefer Shemot, the very first mitzvah that Am Yisrael received coming out of Egypt was the mitzvah to bring Korban Pesach. So how can God say, when I took you out of Egypt, I didn't command you about bringing me Korban on Olam Zavach? We'll return to that question shortly. What did I command you on the day I took you out of Egypt? What did I command you on the day I took you out of Egypt? Shimu b'koli is to listen to me. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. And follow the way that I'm going to command you in order that things would go good for you. What event is this referring to? If you know your Chumash, if you know your Sefer Shemot, this is obviously a reference to Brit Sinai. Again, a very fitting topic for the Nach Yomi right before the holiday of Shavuot. What is God saying? When I took you out of Egypt and brought you to Mount Sinai and made a covenant with you at Har Sinai, chapter 19 in Sefer Shemot, the purpose of that covenant wasn't because I needed someone to feed me. God's saying, when I chose you to be my nation and I brought you to Mount Sinai and we made a covenant, the words of that covenant were, Im shmo tishmu v'koli u'shmartem et briti v'itim liskulam mikolamim v'atem tiyulim amlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. God's covenant was about a nation representing God. God didn't say, I want you to serve me because I need someone to feed me. God doesn't need a nation to bring him offerings because he's hungry. Instead, I want a nation to represent me. I want a nation to act properly, to bring my name and reputation to all mankind. If you're doing that job properly and you want to come and visit me, and you don't want to come empty-handed, so you bring something significant. You bring a korban. But that wasn't the first thing I commanded you. At Har Sinai, we talked about the essence of the relationship. We talked about lo tignov and lo tirtzach and lo tinaf and lo tishabah bishmi lashaker. We talked about the basic values that God expects from all mankind, and God's special people even more so have to keep them. When did God command Am Yisrael about Divrei Olah v'Zavach? That's in Sefer Vayikra, after the Mishkan is built. Yirmiyahu was alluding to is that the essence of our relationship with God is in our behavior. Once our behavior is set and we're representing God properly, then we can talk about, at a later stage, about coming to visit God. And when you come to visit God, you can bring a korban. But the primary connection between God and His people is not about being fed. It's not about bringing offerings. Offerings is a very secondary aspect of Judaism. And it only comes after the core values are set and the relationship is set. But if the entire relationship is built on feeding God and bringing korbanot, God is telling the people, that's not why I took you out of Egypt, that's not why we made a covenant in Har Sinai. What happened instead? Pasuk Chavdalad, v'lo shamu v'lo itu et oznam. The people didn't listen and didn't turn their ears to listen to God. V'yachu b'moetzot b'shurut libam hara v'yu l'achor v'lo lefanim. What did they do instead? They followed their own counsels. They followed the evilness of their hearts. They went backward and they didn't go forward. They didn't turn their face to God. They didn't return to Him. Instead, they turned away from God. And this is just not a one-time thing in this generation. This is cumulative. The Navi is saying, Pasachav, hey, verse 25, Min asher yatzu avotechem eretz mitzrayim ad hayom hazeh. This has been consistent behavior of yours since the time you left Egypt to this day. Hundreds and hundreds of years. Veshlach alechem et avadai hanavim yom Hashkem v'shaloach. I've been sending you my servants, the prophets, the true prophets. They've been warning you over and over again, every day, with the same message. V'lo shamu elai. The people who didn't listen, v'lo itu et osnam, they didn't turn their ear. V'yakshu et orpam, they stiffened their neck. Heriyo mafotam. And this later generation is becoming worse than the earlier generations. And therefore God's saying, there's only so many times I can have mercy. There's only so many times I can give you another chance. God's saying, now it's got to get worse before it can get better. I have to do something harsh in order for you to understand and internalize that message. Pasuk Chav Zayin, V'dibarta alehem et kol ha'dvarim ha'ele, v'lo yishmu elecha, v'krat alehem v'lo yanucha. You said all these things to them, and they didn't listen to you. You called out to them to return, to repent, and they didn't answer you. V'yamata alehem, and you should say to them now, Zeh ha'goy asher lo shemu b'kol ha'adonai elohav. This is a nation that didn't listen to their God. They didn't take rebuke. Faithfulness has perished and it's cut off from their mouths. There's no one left. There's nothing left that God can give us hope in. He's reached his conclusion that the only way his people are going to learn a lesson is through exile. Now, in Pasuk Chavtet, we have a short little poem. Gazin Yizreich Vashlichi. God tells the Navi, cut off the locks of your hair and throw them away. Usi al Shfaim Kina. Take up a lament on the high hills. Kima'as Adonai. God is sick from you. Vayitosh Edor Avroto. And he's abandoned this generation of his wrath. In a poetic way, Yirmiyahu is saying, God has had it with his people. Not a total cutoff, but a very severe one. We'll have to go through exile and destruction, and we'll have to start over from exile. Pasuk Lamed, Kiasu b'nei Yehuda hara b'nai, numa Adonai. God's saying the people of Yehuda have acted in a terrible way. Shikutzeim b'bayit asher nikra shmi alav l'tamo. They've put their abominations in this house, which is carrying my name, and they've defiled it. Uvanu b'mot ha-tofet. They built shrines for some god called Tofet, asher b'gei b'ninom. Nisrofet b'nehevet m'lotem b'esh. They burned their sons and daughters in fire. Some ritual for some type of idol worship. Asher lo tziviti v'lo talibi. They acted in a way, something that God never commanded and never even thought of commanding. There's an allusion here, possibly, to what happened at the Akedah. God was saying, that's something I wanted. That was a test of Avraham Avinu. In order that we learn that God doesn't expect us to offer our children to God. I think that whole concept that our relationship with God is built on sacrifice and feeding our gods, God's saying that's not what our relationship is about, and the people don't seem to get this message. Pasuk Lamed Bet, Lachen, Hine yamim baim numa Adonai. God's saying the following days are coming. V'lo yemer ol ha-tofet v'gei ben hinom. This area outside Yerushalayim, which is Gei ben hinom today, seemed to have been at that time period a place of idol worship. People won't talk about Gei ben hinom and the Tofet anymore. Ki im gei ha-rega, v'kruv ha-tofet min makom. That area which used to be set aside for idol worship and hanging out and partying, that now will be called Gei ha-rega, the Valley of Death. And they'll bury there, in the Tofet, in Gei ben hinom, there'll be so much death that they'll bury people in this area called Tofet, and there won't be any room left to bury anyone else. Vaitani vlata amazela machao lof ha-shamayim ulevemet ha-aretz. The carcasses of the people will be left open in the fields. They'll be eaten by the birds of the sky and eaten up by the animals of the land. Ve'ein macharid, and no one will frighten away the animals from eating the bodies of the people. Vishbati mirei Yehuda michutzut Yerushalayim kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala, ki l'chorba tiyeh ha'aretz. No longer will we hear in the cities of Yehuda, in the outskirts of Yerushalayim, the sound and happiness of a chatan and kala, of a groom and a bride, and a marriage, because instead, the land will fall in ruin. Everyone knows the song, Odi Shama Bara Yehuda. That's going to be later in the Nevot Nechama of Yirmiyahu, and the prophecies of comfort, that even though this terrible decree is happening on the people, one day, Am Yisrael will return to their land, and once again, we'll hear the voices of chatan v'kala. At this point, Yirmiyahu is saying, no longer will we hear them, only after the return from exile, then we'll hear them again. In chapter 26 of Sefer Yirmiyahu, we find a summary of what transpires here in chapter 7. And when Yirmiyahu gives us nevuah, when Yirmiyahu prophesies that God's house will be destroyed, there's going to be a ruckus in the Beit HaMikdash, they're going to charge Yirmiyahu that he's making up a prophecy, they're going to claim that he's a false prophet, and they want to kill him for his false prophecy. An example there of Damnaki, of killing innocent people because they don't like what they're saying. When we study Perek Chavav, we'll try to understand why is it that they want Yirmiyahu killed and how he's saved. But if you want to identify when this parak is happening, take a look in chapter 26. You'll notice it's the time period of Yehoiakim. And our future Shiurim will deal with that time period much more in detail and appreciate what's happening historically in order to appreciate these events. The next set of Prakim in Yirmiyahu, Perachet, Tet, and Yod, are going to continue this theme of destruction, how God's pretty much decided that it's a lost cause. Again, to the last minute, if they do tremendous tshuva, they can always stop it. But now it's a situation where God seems to have given up all hope and is simply telling Yirmiyahu one last warning, and if not, destruction is coming around the corner. In the next set of Parakim, we'll also find Haftarah for Tisha B'Av.